Dearly beloved in Christ, we have already begun Lent, as we know, on Ash Wednesday, the day we receive ashes on our heads as a symbol of repentance for sin and an acknowledgement that we will one day die and render an account of all our deeds, both good and bad, to the Almighty. Lent is a time for fasting and penances. It is a time for realigning our lives with the will of God, a time to throw off fallen human nature and to really focus on attaining the virtues we need, a time to overcome our faults, especially our predominant fault. Our predominant fault is the fault we commit most often and the one we are most drawn to. It goes without saying, of course, that we must strengthen our wills so that we do not fall into grievous sins, mortal sins. This is why the Church recommends penances such as fasting and abstinence to the faithful, because these are so helpful in the spiritual life. They are excellent means of strengthening our wills so that we can overcome temptation. Of course, it is all the grace of God, for truly, no matter how much we strive to fight, no matter how many meals we skip, no matter how long we fast, no matter what sacrifices we make, no matter what we do, if God does not give our actions his blessing, they will be useless, and we will fail to achieve the end that we set out for. In her wisdom, the Church knew that we, left to our own caprice, would most likely never fast or abstain, or we would find an excuse as to why we were unable to do so. So she binds those who are 21 to 59 years old under pain of mortal sin to fast and abstain during Lent, unless legitimately excused from the obligation. But prayer and fasting, blessed by God, is essential to mastering ourselves, that we may not be overthrown by the devil and his attempts to cause our eternal ruin. Amen, amen, I say unto you, said our Lord, that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. From John 8:33. Mortal sin is the only obstacle in our way to attaining heaven. If we can but resist mortal sin and grow in the virtues we need to keep us out of sin, then we will be able to fly to heaven. The malice of mortal sin, says the author of a book I was reading, is threefold. It is first and before all else an act of rebellion against divine authority. Vile as I am, soul and body, by sin I put myself on an equality with God, as though I were as good as he. I refuse to accept a position of subjection and inferiority. It is so with every rebel and his liege lord. When we commit sin, we make ourselves the center around which God and everything else is to revolve. This is surely the worst part of sin, the personal opposition of the creature to the Creator. Every mortal sin is clear and unmistakable repetition of Satan's non serviam, I will not serve. Though the human being does not sin in the full blaze of light which illuminated the angelic minds, even at the moment of their disloyalty, nevertheless, his act is essentially the same as was theirs, since it is a direct attack upon God's power and a direct insult to his majesty. The second aspect of the malice of mortal sin deals with its ingratitude. The Almighty does not stand in relation to me as my king, the supreme arbiter of life and death only, but he also occupies in my regard the relation of creator, preserver, and father. He did not need me as a complement of his glory, yet out of his benefice he drew me out of nothing. The third aspect of the malice of mortal sin is this, that mortal sin is an act of spiritual suicide. It is the deliberate extinction of the soul's life by a turning away from God and the placing of one's choice in creatures. It is a clearly expressed choice of wrong rather than right, a preference for eternal death over eternal life. The sinner says, I hate God, I love that which he loathes and holds in abhorrence. I prefer never-ending separation from him and everlasting misery to his eternal companionship in the midst of beatitude. What madness, then, is mortal sin? For a moment's gratification, for the merest insignificant and unfulfilling pleasures, I am willing to sacrifice the only permanent happiness to which I can attain. A great mystery that confronts us when meditating upon sin is the fact that it is so common, common even by those who have the true faith. There are times when we think that if there were no God, no future life, no restrictions and prohibitions, life would be aimless, indeed inexplicable, unmeaning, yet for its brief span, so much easier and more painless, more enjoyable, that we almost regret our high destiny as sons of God and envy those whose consciences have grown callous to scruples and remorse. The constant peace and blessedness of God's service makes but a slight dent in our memory compared with the occasional crosses and restraints which are the small price we pay for it. Let us beg our blessed Redeemer to fill us with a deep, earnest conviction regarding the necessity of continuous watchfulness and bestow upon us that appreciation of our own nothingness which possessed the soul of blessed Paul. Not that we are able to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, says Christ, and experience demonstrates that this watchfulness and prayer may never be relaxed. Finally, let us not be discouraged, even though we have lived only to offend God, for despair would but add to our guilt and drag us down more readily to perdition. Let us rather, through our tears of sorrow, look meekly up to him who loves us with infinite tenderness, begging him for hope and grace to manifest the sincerity of our penance by leading Christian lives. As we prepare to delve into the thick of Lent, let us arm ourselves with good resolutions, prayer, fasting, and penances that will help us to keep up the pious lives that God has blessed us to be living, or so that we can be strengthened to subdue self and to overcome the temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil, into which we had hitherto fallen so repeatedly. Let us wear our ashes with humility, bearing them as a mark that tells the world, I have entered upon a most solemn time in the liturgical calendar, and I do not intend to lose the opportunity that lies before me in the coming weeks, to shun my old sinful habits and put on the new man, to do God's will and suppress my own will, to live as though when I die, I will be held accountable for my actions, to show forth God's glory and to save my soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.